Such wonderful truths in the carols that we sing. Glorious truth from the scriptures. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning, which is probably the most well-known Christmas passage that we read. And the book of Luke gives some wonderful detail of the gospel of Christ. Luke was written around about AD 60. And we know that Luke is very detailed in his record of the accounts that he recorded there under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Luke gives the fullest account of Jesus' birth and that wonderful detail of that very first Christmas. Luke records for us the whole story of the Lord Jesus Christ, his childhood, his teachings, his miracles, his trials, his suffering, his death, and then his ultimate triumphal resurrection. Luke was a physician, and it's been said that his Greek was the best in the New Testament. He uses some 266 words in his gospel that are found nowhere else in the New Testament. Let's read together in Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father, it is a special day, and we are very grateful to be here this morning and be able to remember our Lord's coming over 2,000 years ago. What significance it is for us today, knowing with full assurance that our Saviour did come. He was born. He did die. He did rise. And he did ascend. And we rejoice in that glorious truth this morning. Lord, encourage our hearts as we look into your word this morning. You know our need. We pray that you would speak to our hearts according to that need, in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that these details were prophesied by many prophets before. Micah was one of them. who in Micah 5 and verse 2 declared the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The deity of Christ, the eternality of Christ, is proclaimed there in that verse, and his birthplace is proclaimed there. And it was in the fullness of time. It was at the time appointed that the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. We see in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where Paul testifies, but when the fullness of the time was come, it had been some 4,000 years before, since the promise of his coming was first made back there at the beginning in Genesis 3, but at the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It wasn't a day late, and it wasn't a day early. Joseph, we know, lived with his espoused wife in Nazareth of Galilee. But the prophecy was that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, quite a journey from Nazareth. And so Cyrenius, who was governor at that time, declared that there would be a census, if you like, where everyone had to physically come to their place of birth to be recorded on the roll for taxation purposes. But interesting to note that this enrollment had actually been planned by Augustus when at Tarragona in Spain some 27 years before, but it never happened. He was diverted from it by some other disturbance in the empire, and it was deferred some 27 years later until the fullness of time, where Mary and Joseph would be required to leave Nazareth and come to Bethlehem. Isn't it wonderful to rest in God's timing? And I love that verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. See, from man's perspective, that would not have been all that convenient. I don't know. It's a bit hard for us men to understand, but from a woman's point of view, to hear the news that she has to get on a donkey, 9 months pregnant, and ride to Bethlehem. She may have been thinking, Lord, that doesn't sound very appealing. That's not very convenient to get on a donkey and ride bearing a baby who is full term. It's hard enough, those emergency rides in a car to the hospital, isn't it? Let alone on a donkey riding all that way to Bethlehem. But it was in the fullness of time, and God so deigned it to be. Now, that's kind of the introduction there with verses 1 to 7, but let's think about now the angel's announcement, the shepherd's response, and a mother's ponderings. The angel's announcement. It begins with, fear not. And it's an appropriate beginning, isn't it? Because there the shepherds are in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and suddenly the angel appeared. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and who of us here would not be tempted to be afraid? So the assurance comes, the exhortation comes to fear not. There are some 59 exhortations throughout the scripture to fear not. And they are then followed by an exhortation that has the assurance as to why we should not fear, and for those who receive those fear not messages throughout the scripture. We read, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Fear not, I will help thee. And many other assurances, and many of them similar to those ones. But the angel said unto her, this is Mary, received this fear not message as well. The angel said unto her, when the angel came to pronounce to Mary, again, a fear not, Mary. Why? Thou hast found favour with God. Joseph also had a fear not message when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Dad read this morning in Matthew 1:20 to Joseph, saying, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. So the underlying assurance for the shepherds of this fear not was the following words: I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you. It may well have been Gabriel that was bringing this message. And I bring to you, shepherds, good tidings of great joy. Reverse up a little bit, if you will, and imagine the scene of heaven when the announcement was made that the Lord Jesus would leave the glories of heaven, lay aside his royal robe, and come to earth. Wow, what an announcement. Can you imagine what the angels would have been thinking to hear that the creator of the universe would go to earth? And then more detail would be given as to how this would happen. He would leave earth to be born of a woman, born of his own creation. Wow. Then it would have been revealed that an announcement would be made. Maybe you could be thinking about what kind of announcement the angels might have been thinking of, how this announcement will be made. The Saviour coming to the world to be born of a woman. How would this announcement be made? And who would it be made to? I think I would have been surprised to hear that the choice was this announcement will be made to some humble shepherds on the side of a hill, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then the details of how he would be born. Not in a palace, not into royalty, but he'll be born in a manger. You'd find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. What an announcement. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. That is a fulfillment of a prophecy that was made 700 years before in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We know that Isaiah prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ 700 years before Christ. Micah, 500 years before Christ. The Psalms, 1,000 years before Christ. And Isaiah is a very precious book, isn't it? And for those who've had the privilege of seeing the Dead Sea Scrolls over there in Israel, in the museum there, Isaiah scrolls play a very prominent role, a prominent position in the center there, in that circular area, in the very center, because it's the most complete book. The Dead Sea Scrolls, the Isaiah Scrolls, are dated at 150 BC. 150 years before Christ is the oldest copy of this 700-year-old book. And in that book, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the angels bring this message in Luke chapter 2, and they say, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel is not for the angels. they could only pronounce, "Unto you is born." Isaiah prophesied, "For unto us a son is given." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 speaks of this salvation which the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Prophets foretold the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ hundreds of years before he came. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 53 is such a wonderful example of the testimony of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves these prophets never saw the day, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And this interesting phrase at the end of verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. That word there, desire to look into, is the same word that's used when Peter is at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ and he stoops down and looks into the tomb. It literally means a desire to stoop to look into. This is the angel's desire, this incredible message that the Lord of heaven, Jesus himself, would leave the glories of heaven and come and give his life a ransom for mankind. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus came to save sinners. The verse we read this morning in Matthew 1:21, following on from the announcement to Joseph, the angel declared to him, "And she," that is Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." This is the one who again was prophesied in Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The one who the Lord hath anointed to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings. These are the good tidings that the shepherds were given as the angel announced them, as the angel declared it to Joseph and to Mary. Good tidings unto the meek. And it goes on to say, "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." What a wonderful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bind up the brokenhearted. The world is looking for a binding up of the brokenhearted today. To proclaim liberty to the captives. There's a lot of people who are living in their own prison cells. This is the message to them. Jesus Christ came to proclaim liberty to the captives, whatever that prison might be, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus preached the gospel, that good news. Paul preached that gospel, the good news. There's many recordings of Paul preaching the gospel. Let me read one of them to you in Acts chapter 13, verse 26. These glad tidings that he declared, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day." What an indictment upon these religious leaders who heard the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah and others on the Sabbath day, and yet the one who was prophesied, who came, they took and crucified. So they have fulfilled them in condemning him, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Some 40 days he lived on this earth after his resurrection, before he ascended, who are his witnesses unto the people, and we declare unto you glad tidings. This is the good news. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Well, this message of the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy, was also declared to be to all people, which shall be to all people. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. All of us can look at anybody's eyes in this world and say, Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. John declared that when he saw the Lord Jesus and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6 says, Who gave himself a ransom for all, and all means all, to be testified in due time. Titus 2:11 says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All men. Isaiah 45:22, the invitation is given, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That encompasses the whole world, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And Peter declares in 2 Peter 3:9, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When God speaks about this invitation, this good news, it makes it very clear that it's invitation to all. John 3:16, that wonderful verse, For God so loved the world, all, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about how the shepherds responded to this announcement by the angels. We see in verse 15 in Luke chapter 2, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, that's interesting. We'll think about that. Maybe we'll go follow it up next weekend when we've got some time off. No. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which might have come to pass. No. Which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. It was a matter of faith that exercised them to go and see this thing straight away, which is come to pass. For the Lord hath made it known unto us, and they came with haste. There was no dawdling. This announcement was made, the decision was made, they arose and went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Again, back to that wonderful book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So where do seeking souls find Christ today? They won't find him in a manger. They won't find him as a babe in the stalls. Today, seeking souls find Christ in his word, in his revelation to mankind. John declared in chapter 1 of his gospel, Jesus is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. And then gives this assurance a couple of verses later. in verse 12 of John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, the shepherds in faith searched immediately for the one that the angels had declared from the skies, who he was and where they would find him. Then follow on in verse 17, and we see what they then did. Once they had found the Christ, they had seen him with their own eyes, as testified by the angels. They didn't then go back to the sheep. They had an important task that followed on from that first important task of seeking the Saviour. They then made known abroad the saying, because when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They had something to tell everyone who would listen. Archimedes had a problem given to him. He was charged with this challenge of proving that a new crown made for Hieron, the king of Syracuse, was not pure gold as the goldsmith claimed it was. How do you prove that a crown that looks like it's made out of gold is not made out of gold? Well, Archimedes, many of you would know this, the story, was thinking about this in the bathtub, and it dawned on him as he hopped in the bathtub and the water rose and overflowed, and he jumped out of the bathtub and shouted, "Eureka! Eureka!" and went and told the king what he had just found out. This great news. It's the law of buoyancy. Eureka means, "I have it." Can you imagine how the shepherds went about declaring this news of what they had seen as the shepherds declared the message of the glad tidings, and how they had gone and found Mary and Joseph exactly how the shepherds had said they would find him, in a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes? The Saviour had come. What was the impact that the shepherds had on those who they declared these wonderful glad tidings to? Well, it says in verse 18, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds planted the seed of the gospel. They declared it to all who would listen. Some would have maybe said, sounds a bit far-fetched. Angels. One making an announcement, others singing and finding a baby, and yeah, maybe. But they wondered. I'm sure many would have believed. The impact that the gospel has wherever it's preached. Some discredit it, some reject it, some believe. Think about the Samaritan woman when the Lord Jesus confronted her and told her all about her life and how she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ there at the well. And it says that the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" That was the message the shepherds took. Is not this the Messiah, the one that we have been looking for all these years? And it says there that they went out of the city and came unto him, unto the Lord Jesus. And then it says in verse 39 of John 4, "Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Paul and his friends were, in Acts 17, verse 3, they were opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and has risen again from the dead, and this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He was preaching the gospel. Well, not everyone wanted to hear the gospel because threatenings came, persecution came, and they were labelled then at that point in that particular situation, they were labelled by the authorities as these that have turned the world upside down. As they took the message of the gospel out, the testimony was that they turned the world upside down with the glad tidings of the gospel. Is that the kind of burden that you and I have to take the message of the gospel, the message of glad tidings, to this world that needs to hear this message? Again, back to that wonderful book of Isaiah, chapter 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The feet of the Lord Jesus are beautiful as they went throughout this world publishing those good tidings. Peace, good tidings of good, salvation. What about your feet and my feet? Are they beautiful? Do they take the message of the gospel? That's what we've been instructed to do, and that's why we're here. For those of us who know Christ as our Savior, that's what our Lord left us with before he ascended to heaven. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what the shepherds did. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. And that's what you and I are to be doing today. An appropriate response then, it follows on. Once the shepherds had heard the message, they'd gone and seen with their own eyes the Lord Jesus. They went and then told everyone who would listen this glad tidings. Then what did they do? They returned glorifying and praising God. I trust that that's our heart's desire, particularly today. That we would not be distracted by the tinsel and the gifting, but it would be our chief desire to glorify and praise the God of heaven. This was an appropriate response to such a wondrous gift. The Savior of the world had come. What other response would be appropriate other than praising and glorifying God? He who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 1:4. Galatians 2:20, as Paul testifies, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Husbands, we're to love our wives. What's the benchmark? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul testifies to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:6 that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. And to Titus as well, he declared to him about the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What of our lives? Are we praising God for the wonderful gift? Let's finish as we think about the mother's ponderings. It says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That is, she held these statements and these events in her mind, and she meditated upon them. She mulled them over. These glorious truths that had been told to her and that she had witnessed with her own eyes. This morning, what will we do with the facts of this glorious truth? Jesus Christ coming to earth, dying in our place, rising again, conquering sin and death and the grave, and thereby offering salvation to all who would come in faith and repentance. And then ascending back to heaven and now interceding at the right hand of the Father in preparation to come again and take his children to be home with him. What will we do with the glorious fact this morning? The shepherds, they sought out the Lord Jesus. They made known him abroad. They praised and glorified him. Will that be us today? Will we, as Mary, keep these truths and ponder them in our heart and push back on the distractions and the things which would snatch that all-important thought this morning? A Saviour has become a babe, has died, has risen, and now offers salvation to sinners everywhere in this world. Have you accepted his free gift of salvation? You can't earn it. You can't say, I attend church, I've been baptized, I take the sacraments, I do good, I'm better than most, I'm not as bad as some. That's not salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can claim nothing in credit for our salvation. It is Christ and all of Christ. It is faith and faith alone that saves. Have you received the gift of Christ this morning? There is no more important decision than what will you do with the gift of the Saviour today. Let's pray. Father, we can only begin to imagine what it would have been like for those shepherds on that hillside on that night. They had no idea what was coming to them that night as the angel first appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and he made that wonderful announcement that this was the fullness of time. The Saviour, as prophesied hundreds of years before by many prophets, had come. And he had been born, the Saviour of the world. May we respond in the way that the shepherds did today, with grateful hearts, with hearts of faith, with hearts of rejoicing. And may we, like Mary, just ponder these things today, keep them in our hearts, for this is of utmost importance. There is no greater theme in all the world than the theme of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to earth, the greatest gift that has ever been given at such tremendous cost to the giver, with such tremendous value to the receiver. We could not ask for a greater gift, and yet it comes at no cost to us, just to believe and receive in faith, being willing to acknowledge our sinful condition and our need of a Saviour, and call upon the Lord, saying, be merciful unto me, a sinner, one who needs a Saviour. And if there be any here this morning who do not have the absolute assurance that if they were to die today, that they would be in heaven with you, that today would be the day of their new birth. For we know that our Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. For those here today who've never experienced the second birth, never been born again, born from above, may today be that birthday. Lord, we ask that you would be the Lord of our hearts and lives and minds today as we go off into other festivities. May they not take preeminence in our minds. May our Lord Jesus Christ remain the focal point of our minds today, and our hearts, and indeed, in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, till you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We might just take our hymn books and just sing two verses of a hymn, and Hadley will come and lead us through.